At the start of the summer, Wisconsin and I came to Milwaukee to talk about the Greater Together Challenge. It's, well, let me quote, it's an idea of soliciting ideas to share concrete ideas, large and small, designed to dismantle segregation and racial and economic inequality in Greater Milwaukee. The deadline for those ideas was September 12th. So now we've come back to listen to some of the ideas, and thanks very much. To my left, Mark Levine, history professor at UWM and director of Consortium for Economic Opportunity at the university. Catherine Wilson, executive director, Zeidler Center for Public Discussion. Xavier Ruffin, a Milwaukee native and a filmmaker. And Ken Hansen, founder of Hansen Dodge Creative. Thank you so much for the part two in this saga. So you've had a few weeks, and how did it go? How many ideas and surprises and encouragements and discouragements? And don't all start at once, team.
Well, maybe I'll just start out by saying that we've had an overwhelming response. Okay. At least we had over 130 entries, and the entries were far-reaching and very impressive and heartwarming, to say the least. But in addition to all of the entries, Catherine has been running discussion groups across the city and probably has some things to talk about with respect to what that's been like.
Yeah, so we've been meeting with people, small groups from across the city in many neighborhoods, facilitating conversations on segregation and economic and racial inequality in Milwaukee, and helping groups and individuals brainstorm ideas, proposals for this challenge. And so that has been entirely rewarding, just very exciting to hear across the city, and also to have people speak to each other and hear each other in these groups. So we have a lot of information, a lot of experiences that we'll be putting forth. And I think that the selections and the 130 proposals that you have before you are just a reflection of people's deep thoughts about where Milwaukee is today.
Xavier, before I talk to Mark, give me your perspective. As you're a native of Milwaukee.
Yes, sir.
And you got excited about this project. Why, other than you're a very creative person?
I'm always excited about opportunities to help bridge the gap between one side of the train tracks and the other side, figurative and literal. Being that I'm from the city, I know, and I'm from the 53206 area that gets a lot of attention recently about the high incarceration rate, on top of being one of the worst cities to raise a black child. The simple head nod that someone gave me that pointed me towards the Third Ward and pointed me towards MIAD could very well have created a very drastic change in what my life ended up becoming, because I was able to partake of the arts, get an education, work hard enough before it was time to go to college, mm-hmm. prepare throughout all of high school so that I could get a scholarship to afford college. So all these little things are simply because someone said, hey, you like to draw? There's a school downtown where you could draw at. So a simple little idea, like a simple little nudge, could really change the trajectory of many lives for people all over the city. So whenever I see something that speaks to that, that wants to help that happen, I want to jump in and I want to be a part of it.
Mark, thanks for your patience. This is not an academic methodology, right? When you have a y'all come appeal for ideas, but right. you got involved. Why?
Well, you know, I've been working on this issue for a lot of years,
yes,
from a research perspective. Obviously churning out a lot of papers, trying to make a lot of proposals, getting a lot of the data out there about the issues of segregation and racial inequality. And the exciting thing for me about this initiative is that it kind of, if we think of it, the need for three legs to the stool, a stool of social change. You know, we need a research leg, we need a kind of community involvement, community mobilization leg, mm-hmm. and we need a public relations or public visibility kind of leg. And what this initiative does is pull all of those together. So where I plug in, obviously, is with my research base, and there'll be a rather extensive paper coming out, hopefully reasonably soon, on a lot of these issues. And obviously the mobilization that the Zeidler Center is doing in terms of public discussion and numerous other groups as well. And then the creative piece of finding new ways to talk about these issues strikes me again as perhaps a really kind of turning point moment for Milwaukee, in which all of those streams come together in a way to raise consciousness and to propose some concrete policy solutions that really might make a difference.
When we were here last time, the idea, I think Ken said it, is to get people to think outside the box. Well, now that the deadline is over, did they think outside the box? And are you going to talk about some of the exciting ideas that came in? Did they think outside the box, Ken?
We got a tremendous number of ideas that I would say are outside the box. And then we got a lot of ideas that simply needed to be done. I think that there's a fair amount of sort of obvious things that Milwaukee hasn't done. For example, I don't know if thinking that if doing a documentary on this issue is out of the box, but the fact that there's never been a major documentary to really address this issue just seemed like something that needed to be done, and I'm delighted that Brad Pruitt and Xavier Rufin put together the proposal to make that happen, and it's called Milwaukee MKE 2040. Could you want to talk about it at all?
Sure. MKE 2040 is an idea to create a campaign that includes not only films from various filmmakers in a collective effort, but commercials and web portals and different ways to touch people with media, mm-hmm. talking about how interconnected the problem is and how it affects everyone socially, economically, and kind of an analyzation of how we got here, where we are, but also providing a new look towards the future and what we could be in the year 2040. If we look at all these different problems, not as problems, but as untapped assets and the potential that they have to come together if connected the right way, how we could build upon it and turn what is currently a weakness into a strength moving forward as the entire dynamic of America changes and begins to look more like what Milwaukee actually looks like as a minority-majority city.
Is it definite that MKE 2040 will be produced, Xavier?
The 2040 is one of the finalists.
Okay.
So it'll be presented along with 14 others. Originally it was going to be 10, and now it's 15. And I think everybody's very excited about the idea, and it feels like an idea whose time has come. And so we're going to put our shoulder behind it as best we can and really try to make it happen. So I would say yes, it's going to happen.
Well, do you want to highlight some of the exciting proposals? Do you each want to pick a favorite? How do you want to talk about some of these ideas?
Maybe, Catherine, do you have a favorite?
Well, a couple jump out to me because I spoke with the people who put forward the idea in facilitated dialogue.
Okay.
So they brainstormed these ideas with us and we're excited to put them forward, and I'm excited that they're in the final 15. One by Megan McGee from Exfabula, Greater Together Stories.
Okay.
And of course, with the Zeidler Center for Public Discussion, we encourage people to tell each other's stories and to listen to each other's stories. So in this one, Exfabula is Milwaukee's public storytelling organization, and just to increase their diversity of the people that come and tell their stories, I think would be a wonderful thing for this small nonprofit and a wonderful thing for Milwaukee. And another one that I especially like being part of the bike community, and because the bike community is so prominent in Milwaukee, is Open Streets. Jessica Binder and the Bike Fed of Wisconsin, they're going to break down barriers for people afraid to go into Milwaukee Central City by doing open street rides in the summer of 2015, and of course these rides could continue physically crossing barriers through the routes that they have planned. So I'm just really excited about these and some of the other ideas.
So go ahead.
I was gonna say, yes, sir. I think in their own way, each of these proposals is terrific. And so I don't think we'd want to sort of pick one or two and say, you know, they're the winners at this point.
They're all
you know, really, really creative and innovative, and they touch different aspects of this.
Ken, we've gone from 130 down to 15 finalists, correct?
Right.
Okay, excuse me, Professor.
But since people want to highlight one or two, I might as well.
Jump in.
as a policy wonk, for better or for worse, the proposal certainly from the community advocates shop, David Reamer, on greater ways of selling an anti-poverty policy package that they put together kind of tickles my fancy a little bit. I mean, I think it's a proposal they've been working on for quite a while. Mm-hmm. It's something that is absolutely essential to this community. One of the issues that will come up, and it'll come up this week when the new census data comes out, and not even seeing the census data yet, I know that Milwaukee will rank towards the top as having the highest level of black poverty in the country and the biggest disparity between black and white poverty rates in the country. Incomes will be lagging, you know, all of those issues. Poverty and concentrated poverty in particular is a serious problem in this community, and we haven't really had a concerted anti-poverty strategy. The strategy that this proposal has includes transitional jobs, it includes tax credits to help the poor, includes a higher minimum wage, you know, lots of issues that nationally are getting a lot of traction, and I think, you know, to apply those locally would be quite interesting, but it's a hard policy package to sell. And so, back to my original point about putting all the legs of the stool together,
yes.
It's not only you need good ideas, it's not only that you need good research, but you need new and innovative ways to package those ideas. And so I'm struck by both having a really good policy idea here and potentially linking it to the creative minds that we have as part of this project to advance that idea. But as I said, that's just one among many. They're all
so Mr. Reamer really and his partners were thinking large here. They were talking, this sounds like something that could be included or at least debated as part of the next state budget, city budget, county budgets, correct?
No,
that would be so to kind of understand how we would find our way with an idea like this, right? Because we were out talking to policymakers and looking for people with serious ideas to really help move the needle, right? And David Reamer, I actually called him about a different idea, and he started to talk about this idea. And he's been working on it for over 20 years, very much like Mark has been working at what he's doing. And David is a particular kind of public servant that is really just focused on this poverty issue and has a very strong belief in sort of policy mechanisms that can help that, right? And he's modeled this every which way. He says, Ken, I can absolutely demonstrate to you how this will work. Okay, but I'll tell you, when he starts to explain it, you know, you go, yay, right?
Your head can explode, yes.
And so, you know, we're not writing policy, but what we can do is help him explain it and help him package it in such a way that he has a hope of selling it both to the public and to policymakers.
Okay.
What I would like to add is, and what I'm excited about is the selections really span a number of categories. We were asking for big and small ideas, and that's what we got. And
from open streets to major four-prong anti-poverty strategy. Excuse me.
And ideas that cover education, food, policy, the arts, and so we're really excited about the scope. And the diversity of ideas.
Xavier, any favorites here?
Other than the one I'm involved in.
Yes, other than MPE 2040.
As a creator, I really like the disruptors idea. Just the idea of youth coming together to create social disruptions that are based around the issues at hand to kind of bring light to them.
Wow.
Not even so much the potential effect that they could have in the different communities that they're placed in, but if you can get kids from different areas of Milwaukee to work together and to get into this mind state together, you begin to raise a new generation, because it really is a generational issue. It's not going to be fixed tomorrow. It's going to take generations to get there. But if you can start to mold that generation and get people to interact with each other on this issue, I think that's a great step forward.
Disruptors, that's a unique term in the context of this, because disruption can be seen as potentially threatening, but this is an entire new level of dialogue.
Right. Among the status quo.
Disrupting the status quo.
Right. I think that one of the things that I'm struck with, I spent last night to try to prepare for this today, and I sat down and read through all of the proposals in one sitting, and I was just sort of really struck by, first of all, you have an idea, and then 6 months later, you are sitting there reading these ideas and there's ideas that we got where people said, I would like to do this. And you can tell by the nature of what they'd like to do that it would turn their lives upside down, right? And what do they need to do that? $450, right? And so there's like, we got proposals from people who want to change the world, and they don't really need to be paid for it. And it just like, you know, you know, just when you like sort of think that this, the problem is too big and it's too discouraging and people are too separated and too polarized, you read through 130 examples of people that have had, 5, 10, 20, 30 conversations with their friends, mm-hmm. right? And with their colleagues about this thing that they're going to enter, and then they actually, you know, get it in by midnight on the 12th, you know, and the grand prize is $5,000, right? This isn't Bloomberg. This isn't a $1 million thing. This is a small stipend to help defray the costs of them staying involved in the challenge overall. So I'll tell you, you know, it's really kind of makes you think, you know, there might be a way out of this after all.
Yeah, Steve, and I think that's really the really exciting aspect of this entire enterprise, frankly, is because if you put the data out, as I do, and the data can be overwhelming, right? I mean, you know, you look at the worst poverty rate, the worst black male jobless rate, a third of black males have a prison record or incarcerated, 10% today, right now, or incarcerated. I mean, you just go down the list of these.
And doesn't Wisconsin lead in African-American incarcerations in the United
Correct,
States?
Correct, 11%.
Excuse me.
At the state level, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, at a certain point, you see that data and you put your arms up and you say, my God, damn it, how can I as an individual begin to address that? And the exciting thing about this process is you've got, you know, 15 finalists, you have 130 proposals, all of which, maybe none of which, are going to change the world in and of themselves, but each one represents, very celebrated speech Bobby Kennedy gave in South Africa in the mid-1960s. Each one represents a ripple of hope. And kind of building on each other, those ripples can kind of build a current that can tear down the mightiest walls of oppression. It's a very powerful kind of metaphor. And I think this process is quite exciting for perhaps building those ripples of hope in the community so that we're not just overwhelmed by the bad statistics. We're not overwhelmed by the fact that Milwaukee has always been so highly segregated and has always been so highly unequal, and that we are, as you know, Ken was saying, you know, so fragmented and divided in so many ways that we can, you know, pull these together and people can think that they're actually making a difference. That changes the tenor of the conversation. It puts the issues front and center on the political agenda.
130 ripples of hope, Mark?
It's the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, 130 ripples that maybe represent hundreds of thousands of people, right?
But that there was thoughtful ideas that went into these. So my question is this. Are all 130 on a website somewhere so people...
They will be.
They will be.
You know, this has been a... I have to tell you, you know, this is not like a formal foundation with full-time staff. You know, all of us are... trying to earn a living in other ways, right?
Doing other things.
And so, it took us until 1 a.m. to prepare the documents for the meeting here today, right? And so we'll be, our next step is really to move this into the public arena as best we can, and it will all be on the website eventually, and okay. They'll be shared at the Zeidler Public Forum, are we calling it? I'm sorry.
So to talk about the kind of timeline.
The process and the timeline?
Yeah.
Thanks,
So we had dialogues across the city throughout the summer, and we're culling proposals and asking people to send in proposals. And then on October 5th, we'll have our citywide dialogue. Mm-hmm. That's at the Zilber School of Public Health, 12:30 to 3:30. These events are free and open to the public. We'll start with a shared meal. And then on October 13th, that's a Monday at Turner Hall, we'll have the challenge event where the finalists will be presenting their proposals. And so there's just a great synergy where we have Mark Levine's history, the kind of data of how we got to where we are today. And then we have a series of dialogues and the citywide dialogue where people talk about their experience in the present of living here and get a chance to interact with people that perhaps they might never talk to. And then in the challenge event on the October 13th, we have this kind of forward-looking future where we want to go. And so I like the synergy of that working together, and truly we are greater together.
Xavier, did young creative African Americans, did they engage in this project to the extent to which you had hoped?
I haven't had the pleasure of reading through the 130 like everyone else has.
Okay.
He was not a judge.
So I can't really speak to that, but knowing that I'm involved, knowing that the people that are in my group that are involved that are also of African American descent, I know that we are here and that we are present and that we are literally and figuratively at the table being a part of what's going on. So in short, yes.
So you were encouraged by the engagement?
Yes.
Okay. Then next steps, we talked about this. So we have 15 finalists and this will be culled, and where does it go from here? The actual process? Well, do you have different categories of prizes?
No, we're really going to be sharing. We're going to have 15 back-to-back, four-minute presentations, very quick. We're going to have a program so that people
can... Is that the October 5? Excuse me.
October 13th.
Okay, that's the October 13th challenge event.
Right.
Which Catherine talked
and
about.
So
excuse me.
We'll be, so we're, that event is going to be fun, and it's going to be fast-paced, and it's we're working hard to get people there. We want the public, and we want policymakers, and we want business leaders there because we really want them to hear and see the ideas. The public is going to pick their favorite, which is going to inform us. Everything informs it, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But we really feel like the finalists to date are really winners in our mind.
Yes.
Already. And there's actually probably about 20 or so more ideas that we're going to want to elevate to some level just because they're so good. And also there was a lot of ideas in particular areas. Catherine and I were talking earlier. There was a tremendous number of potluck ideas, like people that wanted to sort of break bread together, or like there's an idea to have a community potluck at Milwaukee Public Stadium. Now, that just sounds like a wonderful thing, doesn't it? Like to have like picnic tables out there and people come, and that the whole community has lunch together or dinner together, and in this like this celebratory space.
In a non-threatening environment, kind of a dish to pass type thing.
Right.
Go ahead.
Right. Now that idea didn't make it to the final cut, but it's so fabulous. And then there was like five other ideas kind of like that. So we're asking ourselves, maybe we should get the potluck people together, okay. You know, and maybe they should all synergize together. And that gives us an opportunity to move ideas forward. We're a coalition. We're about moving the best ideas forward. So the winner, that's fantastic. We're delighted. But it's really about, like, we've got 130 people have put their trust in us, have shared their ideas with us, have put hard work into it. And we want to pay that off by moving them forward, helping them out. You know, there's ideas in here where you go, oh, geez, I think that could happen if I just called so-and-so and told them about it, because I think they're looking for people like that.
So people collaborate.
Yes, yes.
Right. And this is also not, obviously Ken's the big cheese here, he's a big organizer, I'm just a little research guy, but this is not, October 13th isn't the end of the process.
Right.
The great thing about this is that it stimulates a process of people presenting their ideas, creating ideas, mm-hmm. and that other entities in the community, many of which might fund some of these ideas, foundations, corporate foundations, and any number of potential funding sources may not only fund some of these ideas, but people will continue to churn out ideas as a consequence of the consciousness raising that's occurred in this process. So again, to me, the exciting thing is not only the quality of the ideas and that we'll get something going here, but that it will begin to change the nature of the conversation and the process going forward, so that there will be a constant, maybe that's what we mean by a kind of disruptive, a constant disruption of the status quo in terms of new ideas constantly bubbling forward.
So at October 13th, everyone who presented an idea that is one of the 15 finalists will be given 4 minutes to talk about it and outline it. Then eventually we're going to see up on the website all 130 ideas. But are all 15 finalist ideas now accessible?
Not yet, but soon.
Very soon.
Yeah, so watch which website for the 15 finalist ideas.
GreaterTogether.me.
GreaterTogether.me.
Okay.
Could I take a moment to tell you about another idea?
Please do.
As part of this process, one of the things that you realize, first of all, is there are literally thousands of people working on this issue. Right? It's like, you know, you just have so much respect for the number of people that are sort of dedicated public servants that are giving of themselves to try to work on this thing. And yet here we are sort of 60 years later after Brown versus Board and still talking about it the way we're talking about it today. And one of the things that came up, I had a really nice discussion with Wyman Winston from WIDA. And we were talking about how planning in the city is sort of incremental, and it's also kind of a bricks and mortar kind of a city. You know, we kind of think about it in terms of like little infrastructure things, and you know, could we be thinking about how this city needs to evolve in a larger sense? Could we be thinking about infrastructure and breaking down, say, barriers that are leading to segregation? Could we be moving towards the proper density for neighborhoods to get the right economic impact? And could we be also thinking about human beings when we do that? And that idea, that challenge went to Law Dahman Architects. And Law Dahman are the architects of the Menominee River Valley right now. They're working on that program and revitalizing that. And I think James Dahlman is also working on a very sweet idea where he's going to create a bicycle path through Jones Island. So you're going to be able to actually ride your bike from here to the south side, and you'll be going through that industrial park and over rivers and whatever is in the way. I thought it was a very nice idea. And they do a lot. They also designed the Marsupial Bridge, which is sort of a very nice link between really the north side and the east side in a lot of ways. And they put forth a proposal to build a think tank in a two-year program to try to build a long-term vision for the city. And the idea that all of these thousands of people working on this would actually have some sort of an idea of where they were actually going. You know, they're not just solving a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, I often tell my clients, you know, it's not really about like the stuff you do, it's where you're going that matters, right? And so one thing that just doesn't feel like right now as a city, that we actually know where we're going, right? And so I feel like that's sort of an example of the breadth of these proposals, that somebody's actually going to put together a far-reaching multidisciplinary team and just help to challenge leadership on creating a vision of where we're going to go.
This must have been an eye-opening experience for all four of you. So let me ask this question. One thing about Milwaukee and the issues that were covered by the ideas that you learned from the process. Mark, you want to go first? Anything surprising about the city, about the issue?
I don't think so much about the city or the issue. I mean, as I said, I've been immersed in this issue for quite a while and have a pretty good handle on the various dimensions of it. I think what surprised me are the various kind of creative ways that people think about the issues and the way in which they approach the matter of social change. Again, you know, I approach this from, you know, a macro policy perspective. That's just my training, that's just my inclination. So, you know, I'm always about, you know, what kind of programs can we put into place? What kind of planning process can we put into place? What kind of ways can we kind of concretely change things using the levers of power or public policy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as I said earlier, you know, one of the things that excites me about this process, and one of the things, you know, I learned about this process, is how people coming from different perspectives on this think about potentially changing mentalities about these issues, changing the way in which people think. You know, things that I might not, from a policy perspective, think, you know, would particularly be something I would come up with necessarily, or even work, might very well. And so to see kind of, you know, the notion of, you know, linking suburban churches with city churches, or the meals idea that Ken was talking about, you know, ideas about things like documentaries or photo exhibits or things just to sort of hit people in their gut to potentially maybe create the framework for change. You know, that's certainly been, to me, a revelation and a learning experience. And again, to me, again, an exciting part of this process, because if all of these streams can be pulled together, you know, there's no telling what we can accomplish.
Must be tremendous synergy there.
Right.
Catherine, your takeaway? Anything learned or lessons learned from this exciting?
Oh, so many. I would say that in listening to people really talk from their heart about living in Milwaukee, I really appreciated how much people were wrestling with defining segregation, and that it wasn't an easy thing to discuss, and yet, you know, to wrestle with, well, is it going to help us just to have somebody of a different color move into our neighborhood, or we like our community, and so why should we need to move somewhere else? What we want is equal access to resources, for example, or just hearing people wrestle with the challenges of the city in real ways, and to hear from across the table other people talk about their experiences of, wow, I grew up in Waukesha and I you know, was completely surrounded by, you know, white people until I went to college, and I feel that was a detriment to my growth as a human. To hear somebody say that, and or who owns the English language, you know, a real interesting and dynamic debate about, you know, the use of English itself. I just amazing, just insights into people's lived experience of Milwaukee that I'm grateful to have experienced.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Xavier?
For me, one of the greatest takeaways so far is just seeing how ready for change and supportive of change people of my generation seem to be. Mm-hmm. I have so many friends of mine who have, like me, replaced their Facebook icons with the Greater Together logo. I didn't ask anybody, I just did it one day, and everyone's like, oh, what is that? Okay, yeah, I'm on that. and it's still like months
That's
later.
That's a little thing, but it's that. A big thing.
It's a little thing, but it's a big thing. And then to speak to like what you said before earlier, I had a friend of mine call me and say, hey, I'm submitting to the Greater Together thing. Are you doing something with them? Because they didn't know the level that I was involved. And I was just like, yeah, that's awesome. And like, we're good friends. And to see that spread around and to see how quickly the campaign has touched other people outside of just what I'm doing, just by telling people that I know, but seeing it trickle back towards me, that's really reassuring that that there is momentum and potential there to be tapped. So.
Thank you. Ken? Was it what you thought a few months ago?
Well, first of all, no, this has not been what I expected. I think that people are quite surprising. You know, just when you kind of want to give up on the human race, and you know what I mean, and like we're invading whatever now, and you just feel like people are so stubborn and people are not going to change. You know, see 130 ideas from people that are just so generous of spirit. And I guess I really feel like there is a job to do for the coalition, which is to probably really help provide vision for such a broad range of activists in this topic, and to sort of help bring them together and focus that group to make them more powerful together. I think there's a real opportunity there that I think is pretty exciting.
Well, after the October 13th challenge event, the presentations, now one entry will eventually be win the first place, right?
Right.
And that's 5,000.
Right.
But what about, how can these ideas submitted in good faith by people who have thought and cared, how can the goals go on beyond the formal?
Well, one thing is, at the October 5th event, we are going to have a time for networking so that people, anyone who has submitted, all 130 people, if they want to talk with each other and gain collaborators in their idea, they can do so at that event. And we want to be of service to them online and over the phone, and linking them with people after the October 13th event. So okay. I know the Zeidler Center, we're still hosting dialogues, even though it's, you know, really close to the October 5th and October 13th event, and we'll continue to host dialogues about this issue after the event as well.
And Mr. Creative Genius, have you got, are you already planning Greater Together too?
Well, I think that I'm kind of preoccupied with how to move ideas forward. And so okay. So what happened with phase one of this is that we went out looking for funding for phase one, right? To really make this event happen. And what you might expect, what one could have expected in a conservative city like Milwaukee is a lot of the potential funding sources had a perspective, we would prefer to help fund the actual ideas, not the initiative around it. And I think it's a kind of an understandable response, really. You know, how serious are these people, right? And so, but one of the things that we found was that they were very interested in, like you were, interested in seeing what the ideas are going to be like, mm-hmm. and have asked for us to sit down with them in advance of the 13th, so that they would know what we're presenting with the possibility that we might be able to go into the challenge on the 13th, knowing that some of these things would be paid for, or funded. And so that's very exciting. And then then we'll begin to also do some crowdsourcing for funds. And so our goal is to raise $250,000 to ourselves to move these things forward. Now there's a real possibility that that some foundation might see us as a potential sort of funnel of ideas, and that indeed we're doing some legwork for them, and that they're really looking for creative ideas. And so we're just hoping for the best. You know, every hope we put forward to date has paid off. So I don't think I think it's time to continue being hopeful about that.
Who's going to take the 15 finalists and make the decision? Tough choice. Who's winning the top prize?
The audience.
The audience.
Audience. Yeah. Mm-hmm. At the October 13th?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
So, and I mean, to Ken's point about funders, Northwestern Mutual Foundation is funding the October 5th event. So they have stepped up already, mm-hmm. and will continue. There's a lot of excitement from a number of large funding organizations about these selections. So we're excited as well.
Right. And it's fair to say that, you know, we have a number of foundations in this community that
Absolutely.
Are doing terrific work
Absolutely.
On these issues. I mean, they may not be funding these specific proposals right now, but okay. some that I've seen, they've actually put some dollars, you know, mm-hmm. behind some of the embryonic stages of it. So, you know, the Helen Bader Foundation, the Zilber Foundation, the Greater Milwaukee Foundation, BRICO, I mean, there are a whole mm-hmm. series of, you know, good progressive foundations in this community that are doing work, if not on these specific ideas, on other ideas dealing with issues of segregation and inequality in the community. So, you know, I think this is part of a process. It's an important galvanizing point, and I suspect that it will link up with the ongoing work of these other foundations to create a movement that will have a bigger impact on issues of segregation and inequality in the community.
Well, maybe we should end the show this way. Maybe each of you should give a charge to those who are just arriving late to the idea of the Greater Together Challenge. what they should do now to get involved, to watch the finalists, to read the processes. Ken, why don't you go first?
Well, first of all, I would really like to encourage people to come to the Greater Together Challenge event on October 13th.
Yep.
They're going to be able to see all 15 presentations that night. It's going to be a very exciting night. And it's really important that the public is there, that business is there, and that policymakers are there.
Okay, thank you. Xavier?
For me, I would say tell a friend about it. Tell a friend about it, and then after you tell a friend, tell a stranger about it. It's all about connectedness, interconnectedness, and how many people know and how many people are willing to contribute after they know, whether it's ideas or money, however you want to get into it.
Thank you, Xavier. Catherine?
I would say that these are free events. They're open to the public. So October 5th, come to the dialogue. These events will only succeed by bringing people together.
Why don't you give the reminder? The October 5th event is where?
Is at the Zilber School of Public Health.
Okay, 12:30 to 3:30. I wrote that down.
And the October dialogue, October 13th event is at Turner Hall.
Okay.
Starting at 7.
7 p.m.
So
7 p.m.
These events are made to fit together and feed into each other. We want people to get excited, to build, and to work together afterwards.
Precisely. Participate in all of these and view these not as an endpoint, but simply in some ways a starting point to future action. This is a springboard to genuine social change in this community, that we don't have to accept segregation and inequality anymore.
Very exciting. Wisconsin I will stay with this. You have a word. As Arnold Schwarzenegger said, we'll be back. So I want to thank Mark Levine, Catherine Wilson, Xavier Ruffin, and Ken Hansen for part two. Maybe see you all in part three. Thank you so much.
Thank you.